Last Friday, News Team correspondent Scott Owen attended the Asheville High School strike for the Green New Deal to hear from students about why they were striking, what their feelings are about climate change, and more. You'll hear audio from Asheville High School students. Steve Norris, a local community member and former professor at Warren Wilson College, as well as the speakers at the rally.
I'm Scott Owen. I'm with the Asheville FM News Team. What's your name?
Miko Walker.
You're here at the climate rally. You're trying to say something about climate change, climate disruption.
Yes, we're trying to encourage mostly young people, but really just everyone to contact our senators and state representatives. We've got an email list in case anyone needs scripts to send letters or phone calls, and we're also doing tweets.
So you're gathering up email information, you're sending out tweets to people?
Yes.
What kind of other things are you doing to try to bring attention to the crisis?
Well, there is the whole rally, and we've got a lot of posters. I'm hoping to do some workshops at some point.
So I have a kind of a personal question for you. I'm wondering how it makes you feel to have to, you know, put on rallies and do strikes and protests and things of that nature in order to bring attention to something like climate disruption.
It's, to be really candid, very frustrating. This has been proven by science to exist, and it's been going on for decades. And it's really disappointing that now, even in 2019, there is still a massive fight to get it to be recognized and really dealt with.
Right. I heard somewhere that over 90% of the world's scientists now agree that climate disruption is happening and that it is a human-caused activity.
Yes.
So if that's the case, I mean, I've never seen anyone out like petitioning and rallying for, to, you know, destruction of the planet. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I also think that the people who are against it wouldn't really frame it that way. It's more of a disbelief in science, or like the government's trying to tell you something that isn't true. I feel like once you really look into a lot of reasons people don't believe in it, from my point of view, it looks like more along the lines of conspiracy theories, but I guess everyone's own upbringing can kind of frame it differently. Still, there's humongous like piles of evidence to support it, so the fact that we have to do this still is, as I said, extremely frustrating.
For those people who maybe do believe it but aren't feeling empowered to do anything about it, do you have anything to say to those people?
I mean, it is really as simple as taking some time to contact your state representatives, and a lot of pollution is from larger corporations, so the individual can't really be held responsible for the destruction of the planet, but we can still contact our government officials, and there's still things that can be done from the side of the individual.
Do you think that the government should pass laws banning single-use plastic and things like that, or do you think that's a more of a personal responsibility, or maybe both?
I think that to some extent there should be protections. Things such as like single-use straws have been being banned, but that's actually really harmful for like people with disabilities and stuff who need straws for accessibility. So it is a very complex issue as far as banning certain plastics. I'd say it's more about trying to put in place renewable energy and rely less on fossil fuels. Also, as much as a lot of people don't like hearing this, the meat industry is the extreme contributor to pollution as
the methane. Right. I appreciate you speaking with me today and speaking very frankly with me today. And I hope that some good comes of the work that you're doing here.
Yeah, I hope so too.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm speaking with Dean Wardis. Dean, you're one of the organizers of the event here today?
Yes, I am.
How does it feel to be here and see this thing that you've been organizing over some time now coming together?
It's amazing being here and seeing people show up. It's kind of surreal. There's definitely a lot of anxiety organizing the event and hoping people show up, and we actually are getting pretty good at turnout. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to see all these people here supporting us.
When you organize, there's a lot of work, and it can be frustrating and it can be tiring. Huh. But now that you're at the event, are you feeling any kind of a resurgence in your energy? And does it give you more hope when you see your neighbors come out for
this? Yeah, for sure. It just definitely less anxious once this is all over, but there's so much positive energy and so much positive support that we're getting back from the community, and Asheville is such an amazing place for this. It's just incredible being able to do this, and this is a worldwide event that's happening. It's happening in 123 countries and all continents, like in Antarctica. People are protesting for climate change action now, and it's just amazing to be able to be here and organize this.
How do you feel about the fact that the young people are somewhat leading the charge here? Does that seem right to you? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'm a high school student. My team who helped me organize are all high school students. So, and the movement was started by Greta Thunberg, who is a 16-year-old from Sweden.
Oh, right.
And she's been going on strike every single Friday since December, over that. So it is being very youth-led, and I mean, it is our future, and we're inheriting this planet and all of its resources, and we want to take care of it, and we want to undo the damage that's been done.
What do you have to say for people who maybe believe the fact that the climate's changing, but they don't really understand why or how that's happening?
There are amazing researches. It honestly, if you just like go online and Google, you can get credible sources. CNN is a reliable source, in my opinion, and as far as I've seen. But there are a lot of organizations, especially here in Asheville. We have the Sunrise Movement, we have the Sierra Club, Greenworks. We just have a lot of different organizations, and there's so many events that go on that it's really easy to just go out and have a little fun and get educated on this.
So you're a high school student, is that right?
Yes, I'm a junior.
And I take it then that you don't have the power to vote yet?
Not yet, but I am pre-registered.
You are pre-registered?
Yes.
Do you think that if the law would allow it, that you're ready to be a voter? Do you think that age limit should be lowered?
I would like it to be lower. For some people, it's definitely better that it's 18, but I would love to be able to vote. I am very passionate about getting involved in politics, but I believe that the voting age should be lower.
Well, I'm wondering because it seems that that might have a real impact on the way elections turn out if younger people were allowed to vote.
Yeah, and like today we have someone here who is pre-registering people to vote. And
I see right behind you here. Then.
Yes, the Young Democrats are here to help with that.
Well, that's great. Is there anything that you'd like to say while I have you here on the radio?
I will be starting a newsletter soon about more activism work in Asheville. I also organized the March for Our Lives walkout. So.
Oh, that we had a little while ago over the gun violence?
Yes, last April.
You were one of the organizers there?
Yes.
Do you have a political ambition?
More of a community organizer ambition. I'm not sure I could handle politics, but I'm in favor of supporting them and getting done what needs to get done.
I ask because I don't think I've ever heard of anybody who was having any rallies to bring on climate disruption or more pollution. You don't see that. It would seem kind of ludicrous almost. So, you know, we have 90-95% of our world scientists saying that climate disruption is real and that it's caused by humans. So it might seem to me that this is a political problem more than anything else. Do you have any thoughts about that?
It's a mixture of so many problems. It is political, it is social justice. Climate change affects everyone, and especially in minority communities. So it affects every single person on this planet, and it transcends so many communities and so many boundaries that we have set up. And everyone needs to be working towards this, because we all live on this earth, and in 11 years, according to reports, we're not going to have it anymore. It's something that we need to get and work on.
Well, thank you very much for the work you're doing, and I look forward to hearing more from you all in the future. I'm speaking with Steve Norris. Steve, how does it feel to be down here and seeing the young people taking up the banner for climate protection?
It feels like 1969. A little bit.
A little bit like 1969?
Washington, yeah. When we were beginning to take on Nixon and the Vietnam War, you know? So this, it feels good. It feels good to feel this kind of energy.
One of the questions I've been asking to young activists is, you know, how does it make them feel that they have to go to such an extreme to address a problem that I believe 95% of world scientists have agreed now that climate change is real and that it's human caused. You know, how they feel that having to go to such an extreme measures to bring attention to something like that.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
That they have to do it?
That all any of us would have to hold rallies and protests and things. It seems like a kind of a no-brainer.
Well, you know, I've seen this for a long enough time, 50 or 60 years now. So this is, it's engagement in stuff like this which makes me human. That makes me powerful, which brings out the best in me and often brings out the best in other people, the most creative, intelligent, courageous, and you listed. So I think it's too bad that it's painful for people, it's painful for families, and it's really painful when people's lives get disrupted because colleges won't take them because they've taken certain kind of actions for social justice and so on. I mean, that's the history of this thing, but I think it's great that people are doing it. It excites me a lot. And it's, since it's been such a central part of my life and Curry's life and the lives of a few of the other elders here, I feel good. I feel really glad to be able to get to know some of these young people.
What kind of things are you up to now? Are you got any? Do you have any actions? You're pretty well known for the actions you've been doing.
Yesterday we went.
You had a hunger strike a while back.
Yeah, I had a hunger strike in the fall.
You're all recovered from that?
Yeah. And we had a little. We confronted the North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality yesterday in the Collider, which is right across the street from here, because Governor Cooper has proposed what he calls Executive Order 80 to significantly cut back on carbon emissions in North Carolina in the next 5 years. The problem with, and it's a good proposal, but it doesn't go nearly far enough because he and Department of Environmental Quality are not willing to take on the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which if it's built, will produce about 12 times as much greenhouse gases as Cooper says he can cut back on with his work. So in some ways you can see the Executive Order 80 as a as greenwashing. I think it's more than that. I think he's serious about trying to cut back, but he's so wedded to Duke and so wedded to fossil fuel money that at this point he hasn't been able to do it.
Well, Steve, thanks for speaking with me. I guess some of the speakers are about ready to step up here.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, it looks like we have a minute. Can you give me three things that we can do?
That people can do?
Yeah, we don't just feel this sense of hopelessness, things that we can do that will engage each person on a spiritual level, make them, give them some hope.
Well, one thing that some people who have not paid attention to this can do is educate themselves and read. There's so much attention being given to this all over the place right now. Another is to pay attention to the fact that today there are tens of thousands, or maybe hundreds of thousands, of young people all over the world who are participating in this climate strike. So that is very cool. And then there's all kinds of other things going on, both from arrestable actions to the fast that I did to other kinds of things all over the country. and in North Carolina and elsewhere. So all of that is really exciting and kind of keeps my spirits from sinking too much.
Well, thanks for speaking with us, Steve. It's good to see you. You're looking great, and we appreciate all the work you're doing.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Curry.
I've been told that you need to recycle, that you need to turn off your light, that you gotta stop using plastic. But the thing is, we have inherited a broken system. A system where money makes the decision and not what is best for the people of our world.
That's right, man.
These practices, sustainable practices, should be the norm. Every single person should live a sustainable lifestyle. But the way that our system is set up, we have to do things that we don't like to do. No everyday consumer from the middle class can afford to put solar panels on their house. No one can do that. But we have people in power that have the power to regulate companies and hold them accountable.
That's true.
I've had the honor of working to create some of these changes in Asheville. I worked with Youth for Environmental Stewardship and Sierra Club to lead the petitioning effort to pass green energy legislation for Buncombe County.
We gathered
1,800 signatures from students across our county in favor of this, and this was able to sway the vote from 2 in favor and 5 opposed to 4 in favor and 3 opposed. I'd like to mention the people that did vote in favor, because we need those people to stay in office, because they are helping our community achieve the climate goals that our generation needs. So Al Whitesides, we have Amanda Edwards, who is representing District 2. We have Jasmine Beach Ferreira from District 1, with Al Whitesides. And then we have Commissioner Newman, representing our entire county as the chairman. I'd like to thank them for their leadership in this county. They listened to us when we spoke up. They listened, and we need to keep using our voices. Asheville City soon followed with legislation, and Asheville City will be 100% renewable energy by 2030. That is 11 years. 11 years. When the government creates a law, Duke Energy has to comply. Duke Energy will be held accountable for their actions with coal ash ponds. They will be held accountable for the carbon they are putting in our atmosphere. And part of this legislation is passing the Green New Deal on a national, federal level. We need this legislation now. The Green New Deal will help us across the board address not only issues concerning climate change, but environmental issues, environmental social justice issues. So I'm going to do a breakdown of some of the key components of the Green New Deal, because we've heard about the name of the Green New Deal, but we need to know what it does, the practical policies it puts into place to change our environment and change the way we live as an American society. First, no more carbon source energy. No oil, no natural gas, no coal, no fossil fuels. Second, an energy grid that is efficient and that serves the people. Something that is reliable but does not waste energy that we are creating.
All right.
Public transportation. This not only is more efficient in regards of the power usage, it reduces reliance on cars, which not only use gas, but in the manufacturing process, use a great deal of carbon to produce those cars. And through this, we will also pull people out of poverty who need public transportation to get to work, to get to home, to get to school. Next, natural ecosystem restoration. Nature knows best. Nature is a balanced system that we have disrupted. And when we allow nature to take its course, to restore our forests, then it will combat climate change in the way that it was intended to be. Next, agriculture. Agriculture has to change. Our agricultural system is wasteful in so many regards, and it also is producing in our meat industry more methane than ever before. And methane is 25 times more effective a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And so it is essential that we reduce our methane impact as well.
All right.
So reinventing the way we do agriculture in America.
And eat! And the way we eat!
Next, creating jobs. Creating jobs. Who has campaigned on that? Everybody. But this is an opportunity to create jobs that will last America centuries after this. When this movement was something that's going to be in the history books, they're still going to have those jobs working in sustainable habits. So creating new jobs that will support working families across America. On top of that, unions for workers.
Oh, yeah.
Giving workers the ability to voice what matters to them and how they are being treated in the workforce. And finally, clean air and water, the essentials for life. And this is for our children, for our grandchildren, and most importantly, for the rest of humanity.
All right.
To recap, no more carbon source energy, no fossil fuels, an efficient grid, a natural ecosystem restoration plan, agriculture, creating jobs, unions for workers, and clean air and clean water for all.
Okay, here we go.
Buncombe County and Asheville are doing great jobs of leading this movement in Western North Carolina and in North Carolina as a whole. But first, who's gonna put the Green New Deal in place? That's Congress. That's where it starts. It gets written in the House, goes to pass in the Senate, and then it will go to the White House. So we don't have that great of representatives representing us right now. Let me tell you about the League of Conservation Voters. They have a record. They have a scorecard for each representative based off of their voting record. In the Senate, we have Tom Tillis, who has a scorecard of 7%. We have Richard Burr, who is 14%, the best one, actually. We have Meadows. Y'all heard about Meadows, right? 0%. Surprise. And then we have Patrick McHenry with 3%.
Oh my God.
You want to know what AOC's is? 100%. And I encourage you to look at this when you are voting to see who you vote for.
Right.
And also look at people's platforms regarding environmental policy. But they do hold office now. And we can't change that until the next election. I want everyone here voting in 2020 if you're eligible.
All right.
But while they are in office, we must work with them and tell them that they aren't going to get reelected if they keep doing what they're doing.
Okay.
If they keep ignoring the needs of the people of the American society, then they will not have a seat in Congress anymore. Who's gonna tell them that?
All
with your vote, raise your hand. Come on. So, most importantly, once, I doubt they'll change their record, just seeing how long they've been there, but you must vote. You must vote. Every vote counts. We see this in District 9 right now. So we will vote, and the scariest thing you can do to regulate these corporations, to keep them in check, to regulate the way our society will be, is when you vote for people that will hold them accountable.
All right.
And so if I leave you with anything, it's vote for the people and the people that are for the people. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Elias. Amazing stadium. Love you.